All right, welcome back. Hour number two, Out of Bounds. William Quagamush, Kelly Gramlich. Boy, such an interesting weekend. A lot to discuss. NFL playoffs, and if you got to it.
We have a Super Bowl.
Boy, I was a little bit surprised how much I pegged the New England-Jacksonville game. And then I was very surprised how off I was about Philly. I was very surprised about that.
You going to pat yourself on the back?
Yeah, I mean... the New England-Jacksonville game where I was like, if New England comes back, it was 20-10. I'm thinking to myself, if New England comes back and wins this, I'm pretty close. Like I said, 19-17.
Can I tell you a headline I saw today? Jacksonville is too good to have Blake Bortles at quarterback in the future.
No.
That was the headline.
No.
And I thought, that was kind of ridiculous because I don't think Bortles lost them that game.
No, Bortles played fine. Brady had two drives down the stretch of the game.
He played fine.
They called the game a little bit weirdly.
Shocking.
At the end. They threw the ball on first and second down a couple times late. There were some weird drives there for Jacksonville.
Bortles was the third best quarterback on Sunday. So, hey. He wasn't as bad as Case Keenum. He wasn't as bad as Case Keenum.
You know what's funny about Keenum?
You get a pick six.
I even heard on national radio last night coming back home. We talk about Keenum as if he's like a starting quarterback and Nick Foles is just a scrappy backup when Keenum is actually the third quarterback from Minnesota.
Yeah, and Nick Foles has started in the NFL more than Keenum, I would assume. Yeah.
I mean, Keenum's had a good year and he's probably better than Foles, but let's not pretend that Foles hasn't also been good at times in the NFL.
Do you remember Nick Foles' 2013?
Where he balled out
as
an MVP candidate? Yeah.
When his TDINT ratio was 27-2?
Yeah.
When he threw seven touchdowns against Oakland? He's like one of, a handful of quarterbacks ever that have thrown seven touchdowns in a game. What? Nick Foles is not some inadequate scrub.
Right.
He's not Carson Wentz.
I just think it's funny. Case Keenum was a starter, and Nick Foles was a backup, even though... Case Keenum was the third choice for the Vikings, and Foles the second choice for the Eagles.
Do you know what my personal...
The narrative is fun. It's just fun.
My personal issue with Nick Foles. This is
What's
tough.
That?
Because I can't root for Tom Brady. Because I can't root for the Patriots. Because they are the Alabama of the NFL, and I'm just tired of them, right?
Right.
Nick Foles, A, plays for the Eagles, who I dislike greatly, right? He also, crazy fact, Nick Foles went to my rival high school in Austin. I hate that school. I won't even say it. It's where Drew Brees went. He plays for two of my least favorite, or he has played for, two of my least favorite institutions. Who do I root for? I don't know. I think I'm just going to root for Justin Timberlake.
You having a hard time?
Just see who wins. Yeah,
I don't know why you're having a hard time with this. If Nick Foles came to Clemson, would you root for Clemson?
Yeah.
So you would root for Foles? You wouldn't be conflicted?
Imagine if Nick Foles went to Seneca Kwok. You wouldn't like him. You'd hate him.
Braden Galloway is... Going from Seneca to Clemson.
You're right.
I'll be fine.
But imagine if who's the NFL team you hate the most? The Patriots.
The Patriots, yeah.
So honestly. Imagine if the Seneca quarterback grows up and goes play for the Patriots. You're not going to root for him?
Well, of course not. The Patriots? Of course not.
I don't like the Eagles.
Why?
I can't,
the Cowboys thing.
I don't know which NFC East
so
team I hate the most, but
that
I don't like any
in
of
division
them.
You hate.
I don't like any of them.
Maybe
the Giants because Zach Gore is the most annoying.
I just don't. I mean, maybe it's because the Cowboys and Eagles have been around for decades. I don't know. Why is there such a seething in that division? There's a seething hatred for like all the other teams.
Yeah, you just hate everybody in that division.
And I don't understand.
Well, because you're a Colts fan. Do you really hate the Texans,
No, I generally hate the rival.
Who's your rival?
That is the Patriots. Well, now it's nobody.
No.
Well, I don't hate anybody.
Not anymore.
I have no rivals. But that's who, like the Patriots and the Steelers were the main rivals when the Colts were good, when they were relevant and mattered.
Okay.
So you hate them. Never once have I been like, I can't believe, like when the Titans beat the Chiefs, I wasn't like, that division rival is,
You weren't rooting for the Jags?
I was rooting for
your
the
division?
Jags. For the division?
SEC. SEC.
Oh, we can't have the AFC South. We can't have another team in our division win. No.
AFC
I'm so
South.
Conflicted.
AFC South.
No.
AFC South.
There's no conflicting there. Our team sucks. The Cowboys didn't make the playoffs. It's okay. You can root for teams in your division when the Cowboys didn't make the playoffs. It's not like you're recruiting the same turf. Like
see?
In college, at least you're recruiting the same turf.
Texter gets in. I'm a Steelers fan. I hate the Browns, Ravens, and Bengals.
Why? I don't
Because they're all in your division.
I don't understand.
Because you play them twice every year.
I don't understand. Just beat them. Just beat the crap out of them. And if they beat you, so what? Who cares? Look, I don't root for the Titans when they play.
You're saying fanhood doesn't matter.
No,
basically.
All I'm saying is in college, it makes sense that you would root against your rivals because you're recruiting the same players. You're not fighting for draft picks. Like, who's the number one draft pick? Josh Rosen. It's not like if the Eagles win the Super Bowl that all of a sudden Josh Rosen's going to be like, whoa, we can't go to the Cowboys or go to the Eagles.
So you're telling me in the 90s you rooted for the Knicks?
No, I didn't root for the Knicks.
The Knicks were your rivals, were the Pacers' rivals.
I didn't say root for them. I'm saying this loathing hatred. Like
you didn't root against the Knicks?
I root against teams that are actual rivals.
You rooted against the Knicks.
I don't let the... Yes, I rooted against the Knicks.
There you go.
They were the team, but they weren't our division.
Well, there's no division. In the NBA.
I didn't root against the 32-48 Bob Sura-led Cavaliers or whatever. I didn't root against the Pistons in 1996.
See, Quag, you're losing this one, bud. Look, Panthers fan, despise Falcons, Saints, and Bucks. 49ers fan, root against the Cowboys and the division.
I don't understand. I don't get that.
Bills fan. Well, he says the only team he hates is the Patriots. Well, that's because that's that division. Because the Patriots win it every year.
But, like, it's different in the regular season, though. Like, I don't want the Titans to win in the regular season or the Jaguars or who else is in the division?
Exactly. Your division is so sad. The Titans.
The Titans, the Jaguars, Texans. Texans are in it, too.
God, what a sad division.
Like, the whole regular season, I'm like, you know, I wish the Titans and Texans and Jaguars will win.
But Quark, my that division is a joke.
But here's the thing. My team stinks. So I'm not rooting against the Jaguars because next year, guess what? The Jaguars winning has nothing to do with whether my team's good or not.
But
it has no bearing on it whatsoever.
Part of that is the historical nature of these rivalries, too. That there's no historical nature of a Colts-Jags rivalry. And part of it is that division suffers because you have a lot of newer franchises.
See, I think that's it. Because my dad sends a text and he says, as a Packers fan, I hate the Bears, Vikings, and Lions. Because
yes, that's that division. And that's been that same division forever.
Right.
Same with the NFC East.
Maybe that's it. Maybe the Texans and Titans and
Jags,
they haven't competed for anything.
You have no reason to hate the Titans or the Texans or the Jags.
Let's say the Jaguars made the Super Bowl.
The Jaguars, yeah.
I wouldn't think that the Jaguars, which is the word, I wouldn't think that the Jaguars would like winning is the worst thing ever.
Because it's the Jaguars. Why on earth could you hate the Jaguars?
Well, because they're in my division. Apparently I have to hate them because they are in my division.
It's less about the division and more about the traditional rivalry that some of it happens to be, you know, made better because of divisions because you play them twice every year.
And that's what I said. It's got to be the, you know, 5 decades of history or whatever.
So
between the Cowboys,
back
Redskins,
to the initial
Giants,
thing, you
Eagles.
Don't believe that I don't like the Eagles.
Can you
believe me on that?
I believe you like the Eagles.
I don't like
the
Eagles.
I think you like the Eagles or don't like the Eagles. I assume that you hate the Eagles.
But I'll say this though. The NFC East is a unique division because there's no common knowledge of who hates who more, you know? I would say maybe the Redskins and the Cowboys. Maybe that's the most hated, but I don't know. It's a tough one. It's a toss-up. But that's beside the point. We can move on.
Maybe this is just me. I don't get anybody but Patriots fans rooting for the Patriots at all. Like, I don't get anybody but Patriots fans
rooting
for the Patriots
agree with
against
that.
The Jaguars. Like, Titans fans, Texans fans, Colts fans, every other fans root for the Jaguars instead of the Patriots. So you're like moral dilemma trying to figure out where to go on this. I can't relate because I think the Patriots are Satan's.
Well, I agree
house
with you that
is where Satan resides.
Americans, it is our duty to root against the Patriots. I think all of America, besides the little corner up in the Northeast with those tiny little states that you can drive through in 30 minutes, that little corner is rooting for the Pats. But I think the rest of America is rooting for the Eagles. I'm pretty sure.
All right.
Even though Philly fans are the worst.
Let's say, like, my dad still hates the Dodgers because the Reds and Dodgers are, because the Reds and Dodgers were rivals in the same division when he grew up. I don't hate the Dodgers because I didn't grow up with that dynamic.
That's fair.
To me, free agency changes a lot of this just for me because I hated the Pistons when, like, after the Malice in the Palace, after the brawl as a Pacer fan, I hated the Pistons But now I don't mind the Pistons. I don't root for them. I don't wish that they would have success. But like Ben Wallace and Rasheed Wallace and Rip Hamilton and Chauncey Billups and that, like, they don't play there anymore.
That was a great team, though.
I used to hate the Celtics because Antoine Walker and Paul Pierce and those guys, they knocked us out of playoffs every year. I still see in my nightmares sometimes Al Harrington and Paul Pierce talking junk and then Pierce rising up and hitting a three in the first quarter of the first playoff game in the 2000 whatever playoffs, and I thought the series is over. It's done.
You see that in your nightmares?
I see it in my nightmares. But I don't hate the Celtics now.
I see Chris Bosh tipping that rebound out to Ray Allen.
See, I don't hate the Heat anymore because I don't hate Goran Dragic.
That's true. As a Spurs fan, I don't hate the Heat anymore. But I think the NFL is different. The NFL is different because we know this with football. Each game means more when it comes to playoffs. If you lose a January game to the Heat, if you're the Spurs, it's not that big of a deal.
Right.
In terms of your playoff standing.
And I hate the Cardinals. Probably more than my dad does. My dad hates the Dodgers like I hate the Cardinals right now as a Reds fan.
You know what? This is America. You can hate whatever team you want.
Right. And you should probably like trumpet that hate more than the things you like. Because that's America, too.
That is America, too.
We talk a lot about what we hate.
But do you buy the conflict here a little bit in that most people... No one likes Philly fans. No one likes
Philly fans the worst.
No,
they're not the worst. No, the most insufferable fans are the Boston fans that everyone loved for 120 years. And now...
All of a sudden.
And now they've repaid us with back slaps across the face.
A little new money.
You're not better than me.
New money.
Yeah, that's what it is. Like, we rooted for the Red Sox all those times, and now you want to be detestable people? We rooted for the Celtics all those times against the Lakers because they were West Coast in the 80s, and now you want to act like you're holier than thou? Like, you're better than us? You're not better than us.
Like, you're not better than me.
We rooted for the Patriots, and it was Bledsoe, and we rooted for Brady against the Rams because we liked defense, and we didn't like the greatest show on turf, and we didn't like it, and it was old school football, and this is how you repay us? Yeah, Boston fans the last 15 years have made friends into mortal enemies. They are the worst. Yes, Philly booed Irvin when he went down. Yes, they threw stuff at Santa Claus.
Oh, they're the worst.
Yes, they're the worst ever. They are the worst people ever. But they are not Boston fans, who are the worst people ever right now because they looked at our gratitude and said, we don't need it. We hugged them when they beat the Yankees, when they came back from down 3-0, and we hugged them, and we held hands, and we were all there for you, Red Sox fans, and then you blew it because now, you just wag your finger in everybody's face like you're better than everyone. The Boston fans are the worst. The Philly fans are the more likable fan base in this
Super Bowl. That's crazy.
And that is stupid because Boston fans are that awful to everyone else, to all the other fans on earth.
It's tough because in recent Patriots Super Bowls, you rooted for Atlanta, right? I mean, Philly's never won a Super Bowl, but you rooted for Atlanta because they never get there. And Matt Ryan, you know, he was finally playing up to his potential. And all this stuff. You root for Seattle because you love the 12th man, and that's their only pro team in that city besides the soccer team, and the Mariners, but they don't count.
Right.
And, you know, everyone loves Russell Wilson, and you have Marshawn Lynch eating his Skittles and everything. There's reason you root for Peyton Manning and all this stuff, but I don't have a reason to root for the Eagles. I don't. They're the underdog, yes, because they don't
have
Carson Wentz.
The Patriots.
But. I mean, the other opponents for the Patriots in the Super Bowl, they gave me some reason to root for them. I'm rooting for nobody.
Nick Foles, he's a scrappy little MAGA.
I'm rooting for nobody. I would
he
like
can't
a tie.
Play it. All of a sudden, he can play.
I would like a tie. I would like
wins.
The winner to be declared. I would like Justin Timberlake to be declared the winner, and then it's over.
Doug Peterson, backup quarterback to Coach of the Year. That's how you do it. Like, I don't even want Dwayne Allen to win this Super Bowl. That's how much I hate the Patriots.
That's serious, then.
Roger and Anderson's up with us next. Somehow we're going to get back to Zion and Clemson basketball, which we just left off. 654 roars the number. What's up, Roger? How are you?
Quag, the Death Star is intact.
Yes, it is. It did take on some. It did take on some casualties though yesterday.
Look, I don't know if I told you, but I know I told the press box show before yours. And I told some national shows even, this was going to be a game that was going to be closed. And in the fourth quarter, Jacksonville may have a lead or it was going to be closed. And they were going to look around and it would be like, okay, here we are. And all that good work that they did in the first half and even into the third quarter just went away because Blake Bortles played well, but they got very conservative. They threw the playbook away that they had in the first half. And they somewhat choked, but you got to give it to Brady. I mean, he's still missing his best receiver, Edelman, Gronkowski gets knocked out in the second quarter, and still they put all their chips in on Amendola and Cook. And I will say some very favorable calls by the refs. And I'm glad they won. I'm proud that they did. I'm happy they did. But I'm going to tell you something about Philadelphia, because I noticed it in the game, and especially in the post game. They kept showing Carson Wentz. And I'm telling you, there's going to be a narrative developed. If Nick Foles takes this team, and he's already taken them to the Super Bowl, if they get to the Super Bowl, does that franchise really want that situation if he would win that game? But this would be unprecedented. Yeah, backup quarterbacks have won a Super Bowl, but never with the number one franchise pick sitting on the sidelines watching. This has never happened before, and I'm just telling you, it's a narrative that you need to keep your eye on, because I just noticed how much times they kept showing Wentz, and he was smiling, and you could kind of see that he was disappointed just the way he looked. Not so much, you could just tell that he wishes it was him, because these opportunities, they just don't, I mean, the Patriots are, they're an anomaly. I mean, they get many chances. A lot of quarterbacks, great quarterbacks, get no chances. You never know when it's going to just go away and your career is not fulfilled in the way that Brady's is or that other quarterbacks are. And it's just something to keep an eye on. I think we're going to win the Super Bowl. I think we're going to finally have a Super Bowl where we win big and we put a team away early. And because every one of our Super Bowls has been tight, has been a fourth quarter down to the wire or amazing comeback. I think we're going to get it done by like two touchdowns.
You know, I think there's a good chance of that, Roger. I appreciate the phone call. We're up against it. Thanks very much.
Bye, man.
You know, it's interesting to think about that. I do think that there's a little bit, not resentment necessarily, but there's a little bit of, I don't know, like an emptiness with Carson Wentz, that this is his team and his season. He can't be there. He can't be out there winning it. Like, you want to obviously win it. Like, he's going to get a ring like everybody else for a win an NFC championship, which, by the way, there's nothing more that more reflects the disdain that people have for the Patriots and their fans and everyone associated with them, then when Belichick throws the AFC championship over his shoulder like a banana peel on the stage.
He's like, I don't want this trophy.
He's like, ah.
What is this?
Get this away from me.
I have
me.
A bajillion of these.
We don't care. Get that out of here.
You said, I think this Wentz storyline is really interesting. And you say Wentz will still get a ring, but we won't refer to Wentz as a Super Bowl winning quarterback until he does it. And he's not going to win this Super Bowl. He's going to get a ring, and no one's going to take away what he did in the regular season, but he's not going to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Not this year.
I heard a national guy last night say Carson Wentz should be the MVP of the league because the Eagles are in the Super Bowl because they got home field.
Oh, I agree with that. I agree with that about home field.
Nick Foles didn't do that. Carson Wentz did that.
It's such an interesting thing, though, that if they do win this with Nick Foles, I mean, I'm not saying they're going to go away from Wentz, but they got to find a way. How do you keep Foles after this?
They're a little bit of a, you don't, because there's going to be a lot of fruit basket turnover at the quarterback position in the NFL this year.
Yeah, and Foles is going to get paid somewhere. Yeah.
Somebody's getting paid. Keenum and Bridgewater and Bradford and Foles and somebody like Bortles and some of these guys are free agents. Like we're going to see some fruit basket turnover, I think is the best way to say it, fruit basket turnover at the quarterback position in several spots around the league. We're going to see that.
Also, can we just say it's definitely a positive that the Jaguars did not make the Super Bowl, because our listeners don't have to listen to 2 weeks of us debating what's the right way to say the word.
Well, it's not a debate. I don't even know why we're...
I saw a poll on Twitter and it was split.
I don't care about the poll. I don't care about any polls.
I'm just saying,
Facts up to the poll. Is 2 + 2 = 4? Well, I mean, 42% said no, so it's a toss-up. And the way you say the word is Jaguar, and that's a fact, indisputable fact.
I'm just saying.
38% of people say it wrong. Okay, they said it wrong.
So you're telling me if I say pecan.
No, that's a word where there are alternate pronunciations. Go to Webster's, look up alternate pronunciations, and see if Jaguar is in there for the word Jaguar.
I'm going to do some research.
See if it is.
Oh, research.
Both acceptable pronunciations. Just saying.
Acceptable to the dictionary
Oh, to the dictionary. I stick to the dictionary. They call me Webster.
It's Quack's World. We're just living in it.
They call me dictionary.com. You know that. Stay with us. More to come Out of Bounds in just a moment.
You don't have to wait for spring to start celebrating warmer weather. The Upstate South Carolina Boat Show is back, and we have everything you need for life on the water. Whether you're looking to speed, cruise, or fish, you'll find the best selection of this year's newest models, as well as gear and accessories for the whole family. Join us at the Upstate South Carolina Boat Show, January 25th through the 28th at the TD Convention Center in Greenville. Go to upstatescboatshow.com.
David Green and the professionals at Green Law Firm understand your rights when it comes to any issue with the IRS. The IRS has instituted the Fresh Start Program, and David Green knows how to use the Fresh Start Program to your best advantage. The Green Law Firm can't change your past, but they can certainly change your future. For a free strategy session, call the Green Law Firm at 271-7940 or go online at greenlaw.legal. That's greenlaw.legal.
It's that time of year again when we have ice and snowstorms. Have your fireplace ready to go with vent-free gas logs from the Craft Stove Store and Patio. Vent-free logs and stove use no electricity and will keep you warm and cozy even during a power failure. The Craft Stove Store and Patio has 20 burning models of vented and vent-free gas logs for you to see. Be ready for winter storms with gas logs from the Craft Stove Store and Patio, 3002 Wade Hampton Boulevard.
Craft Stove Store and Patio.
Zero Res is the answer to cleaning at its finest with no harsh chemicals. No residue, safe from toxins, and your carpet, upholstery, tile, and grout will stay cleaner longer. Spell it forwards or backwards, it's the right way to clean. ZeroResGreenville.com.
It says a lot about a business who served the upstate for 30 years. It says even more when that business, family owned and operated, has continued to grow and take care of thousands of homeowners like you. Roto-Rooter of the Upstate is full service with 24-hour emergency attention to your plumbing issues. 30 years in business, family owned and operated, and proud alumni of Clemson. Roto-Rooter, online at Roto-Rooter.sc or call them at 288-7686.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name,
and wiggle troubles down the drain.
Trucks cost less than Travelers Rest. Save up to $11,000 off a new 2018 F-150 4x4 crew cab. Just $38,665 plus tax and tag. And they never charge any dealer fees at George Coleman Ford. See the 2018 F-150 at George Coleman Ford, where trucks cost less than Travelers Rest, and they never charge any dealer fees.
Must finance with Ford Motor Credit.
If your wiper blades are worn and streaking, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and save $8 instantly on a pair of Trico Force wiper blades. Improve visibility and save money with Trico Force wiper blades. Plus, take advantage of O'Reilly Auto Parts' free wiper blade installation. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
God gave you two opposable thumbs for a reason. The text line is always open. 864-986-1566.
Just hang loose, blood. She's going to catch up on the rebound on the med side.
What it is, big mama. My mama raised no dummies. I duck a rap.
Cut me some slack, Jack.
Now back to Qualk and Kelly.
Ready for action, nip it in the bud, we never relaxing. Outcast is everlasting, not clashing, not at all. But see, my went to do a little acting. Now that's for anyone asking. Give me one, pass them. Drip, drip, drop, there it goes, an orgasm. Now you coming out the side of your face, we tapping right into your memory bank. Thanks. So click the ticket, let's see your seatbelt fasten.
All right, so we've thrown out all the topics. Basically, we're at the halfway point of the show. We've thrown out all the topics, and now we get the cycle back to whichever one you want. 654 roars at Umber, 654-7627. You want to get in on the Northland Communication phone lines? We got to let Outkast jam here for a second. That's good. Andre Three Stacks. Got to love it. Andre Three Stacks. Who's the other guy?
I only know the Andre guy.
I know. Andre Three Stacks.
Who's the other guy in Outkast? Someone in the text line will tell us.
I'm just drawing a blank. Like, I used to know them both, and I used to know their specific...
Jaguar John.
Say it again.
Jaguar John.
You just went... Okay.
Oh, Big Boy.
Big Boy.
Antoine,
that's right.
Big Boy. Big Boy? Patton. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I just couldn't think. But I used to not know Andre 3000. Could never remember.
Yeah, we just got the text. Thank you, sir.
Big boy. That's it. That's it. The Jaguar thing has reached another level because we just went to dictionary.com and legitimately heard two different things.
She pronounced it Jaguar.
She did not pronounce it Jaguar. You heard Jaguar.
You know what? I'm going to get this on air. Hold on.
Okay.
Hold up.
All right. So the two phonetic pronunciations are, in fact, Jaguar and Jaguar. And we're settling this once and for all. Because the Jaguars are out of the playoffs and the Jaguars have never existed. So we got it once and for all. We have to settle this. What is it? Jaguar, Jaguar. And in Kelly's thing, because the woman is clearly from the Midwest.
Yeah, it's just me that says this. It's just me.
It's not just you, but I can't believe that you would put a factual thing and say, but 38% of people, it was close. Between the pronunciations, it was close. Oh, boy. We never did finish the Clemson basketball rundown of the schedule either. Let's do that. 654-ROAR if you want to get on the phones. We gave you the Virginia game. They're going to be underdogs there. We'll give you a loss there. Georgia Tech on the road. They should win that one. North Carolina. We said coin flip there, so we'll just leave that coin flip for now. At Wake Forest, they stink. They can't close out any games. That's a win. Pittsburgh is atrocious. Third worst team Clemson's played all year. At Florida State is an interesting one because that would come off of, I mean, if we're doing this right, that would be like four straight wins and you go down the tally to play Florida State. We'll give you a loss there. Winning five in a row in league is tough. Winning three in a row in league is tough, honestly.
I think if we're trying to be completely objective here, Kwok, you probably have to say a loss to North Carolina.
Probably.
In Little John.
Yeah, and then because we don't know. There's stuff we don't know. At Florida State, I'll give you a loss to Florida State. I think they beat Duke at home, though, even without Grantham. Because I don't know. Duke can't guard Clemson. Duke's one of the worst defensive teams in the league.
Kwok, you think they're going to beat Duke?
Yes, they're going to beat Duke. Who has Duke guarded this entire year? Who have they guarded this whole year?
They don't need to guard anybody.
Certainly when you play Pittsburgh twice in 2 weeks, you don't need to guard. But you don't need to guard Miami, who can't score. They give up 75 to Miami, who can't score.
They beat, you heard of Michigan State?
Yes. How many did they give up to Michigan State?
A lot.
They dominated Michigan State on the glass that game, too. That was a weird game.
I think Clemson has a better chance to beat North Carolina
than to beat Duke
at home than Duke.
For real?
Yeah.
Duke hasn't guarded a possession this entire year.
But see, I hate this because now you're making me sound like a homer. I hate it.
They gave up 93 to Florida State. They had to score 100 to beat Florida State. Were they going to come into Clemson who guards and beat Clemson?
I think they guarded Wake and Miami. But you're not mentioning those.
They gave up an average of 73 in those games.
That's if Duke holds a team to 73, they're winning the game.
Well, obviously. You think Duke, who never guards, is going to come into Clemson and beat Clemson?
I mean, yes. But you're making me, I hate this conversation. I hate it.
All right, so how many points is Duke going to score against Clemson who guards? What kind of game do you think is going to happen there?
I think Duke could win this game by scoring in the 80s.
All right, does Clemson give up in the 80s?
No, they don't.
They gave up in the 80s on the road to North Carolina.
Duke is also arguably the most offensively talented team in the country.
They're the best offensive team in America.
Okay.
The most points Clemson's given up at home this entire year is 77 to Texas Southern.
They haven't given up
80 to a single team all year.
I think it's a toss-up, Kwok. I don't think you can just chalk it up as a dub.
All right, so we can split the North Carolina and Duke games?
That's fine, yeah.
Okay. Virginia Tech on the road.
Should be a win. That's a tough place to win, though.
They go drive. If they get Thomas in foul trouble by going to the rim, that could be a problem. But I feel like Clemson should win that. That is a tough place to win. That's a game you got to win. Georgia State at home is an obvious win. I think Florida State at home is probably a win.
That's a win.
Yeah. And then at Syracuse at the end is tough.
It's tough. Clemson went up there 2 years ago and won in dramatic fashion.
Yeah.
Clemson is better than Syracuse.
They are better than Syracuse.
Now, playing in the Carrier Dome,
on their senior night.
I can
night.
Attest to this. It's not. Mm. It's not ideal. That place is tough to play.
So what is that like? Well, let's. I mean, we're talking worst case scenario. Clemson loses like four more games in league and goes 12-6, or maybe we'll give them five. Like it totally goes off the rails and they lose five. Well, they go on 11-7 in league. That's pretty good. That's going to be top five or six.
You are safely, squarely in the tournament if you go 11-7.
I mean, we're giving extra losses and going 11-7 right now.
Now, with Dante, probably at least 12-6.
I think Dante's worth a win or two wins.
12-6. I mean, maybe best case scenario 13-5, but that is so hard to do.
Yeah. I agree with that.
I would say 12-6 is your best case possible scenario. And I would say 10-8 is probably your worst case. Does that sound fair?
Yeah.
And either one, you are squarely in the tournament. No bubble about it. You're in.
Yes.
Quickly before we go to the phones, I have a pronunciation of Jaguar for you.
All right.
Are you ready?
Yes. We're going to let people decide. You decide. Is this going to happen? Are we going to actually have it? Are we going to actually get the pronunciation? Jaguar. Oh, there was.
Hold on.
There it was. Okay. Okay. Now tell us what is this woman saying? This woman who knows.
Okay.
Jaguar.
It's Jaguar. Did she say
Jaguar?
Jaguar. Did she not say a Jaguar?
I mean, she's a little more proper, so she's saying Jaguar. Jaguar.
Yeah, no.
But it's wire. No. Wire. Like that.
You didn't even say it two times. She's saying Jaguar. She's from the North.
She's from the Northeast. Yeah. Or from like Minnesota.
Jaguar.
But still a wire formation of your mouth. A wire.
Dave in Simpsonville, save us from this madness. What's up, Dave?
Well, hey, I'm going to pronounce it Jaguar.
I'll take that.
Well, Dave, Jaguar. you are a classy Jaguar. Fellow, so.
Yeah.
If you listen to the guy who plays Loki in the Avengers movies, he did a Jaguar commercial.
And yes.
That's how he pronounced it.
That's true.
So, you know, because I believe there's a dealer in Greenville that sells the Jaguar. So if they were to call in and correctly, you know, set this myth or this argument, I believe you'd find that they would say that as well. Of course, I say Jaguars too. But going back to the Clemson argument, if you go to the Clemson argument, I do think losing Dante is a huge loss. And I think that he is worth 2 to 3 wins because of what he brings from a leadership standpoint. He has really stepped his game up this year. And the guy who now wears number 32 is not the guy who wore number 32 in his previous 2 to 3 seasons. I do think a win against North Carolina at home, I think we can play them because we're not going to be in that all factor. And I think that it is a possible – I think we can pull off a victory against North Carolina in Little John. Kelly, I'm going to go against you. I think beating Duke at Little John is also there, except for the fact that Miami had them double digits with 6 to 7 minutes left to go in the game in Miami, and for whatever reason just fell apart. I don't know if it's because of the way Duke just kept coming and kept coming, or if the whistles quit blowing, who knows? But you cannot let Duke get into any kind of rhythm at Little John if you want to beat them there. Virginia Tech's the worst place in the world to play.
Yep.
I watched that Virginia Tech Florida State game the other day, and that's just you might as well just put football pads on because that is just that's a terrible place to play. For whatever reason, ACC officials they don't know how to call a game in that environment. And whatever reason, Peterson's just a good coach and up there at Virginia Tech. That, to me, is going to be the toughest game the rest of the way out from a physical standpoint. And Thomas just seems to get into foul trouble when they're that physical. So I would chalk that one up as a loss for sure. If you had to put a value on Dante Grantham, how do you value his – up to the point where he gets hurt, and who do you see coming in and being vital to take his spot and I'll take it off the air, guys. Y'all have a great day.
Thanks very much, Dave. We appreciate it. As far as Virginia Tech's concerned, I want to address that first because they play at home against North Carolina tonight, okay? Not looking at RPI, just KenPom. How many games against top 100 KenPom teams has Virginia Tech won at home this year?
Let's see. I remember they played Kentucky close, and that was in Blacksburg.
That was in Rupp.
Oh, that was in Rupp.
They
never
lost
mind.
That Rupp. Never yeah, they scored mind. 86 on Kentucky at Rupp.
Top 100 teams they've Kentucky played at home in Blacksburg.
Yeah.
Well, they just played Florida State.
They just played Florida State.
So I know Florida State's top 100.
They played them and lost.
I mean, I wouldn't say they've beaten any top 100 teams at home.
The best team they've beaten at home this year is Iowa. That's their best home
Iowa's,
this year.
Oh, beaten. That's right.
Beaten.
And
yeah.
Iowa just got drubbed
they
by Purdue.
They just got killed
on
by
national
Purdue
TV.
At home. Like down by 30 plus at half.
Yeah.
That team. They beat Iowa by 24 in their building. KenPom has Iowa at 101st.
Who's the best team in general that Virginia Tech has beaten this year? Period.
Their best win all year is probably at Ole Miss in overtime. They have a neutral floor win over Washington, and they have a road win against Wake Forest.
Washington's not a bad win.
That's not bad. They're barely inside the top 100 KenPom.
Washington's like a bubble team right now.
Yes. They scored 103 on neutral floor against Washington.
I mean, Clemson should beat Virginia Tech. Blacksburg is a tough place to play, though.
I agree with what Dave said, and I agree with that.
That gym
Blacksburg
is a barn.
Is tough. All I'm saying is the two best teams that have gone to Blacksburg this year are Virginia, who won by 26, and Florida State, who won by 9.
Right.
Now, Florida State shot an insane percentage, but they also, I can't figure out, I think Brett was talking about this Friday, I can't figure out Florida State. I don't know what Florida State's deal is. They should be better. I know they lost some guys, but they've got talent there. They've got size and length, which they always do. And they don't guard very well. If you look at some of their numbers, even some of the peripheral numbers, they play fast, but they don't guard great. Like, they give up a ton of second chances. Their numbers aren't bad, but just watching them possession to possession, I don't like watching them play. There's something missing about Florida State this year where I've liked them in the past, and I don't like watching them this year. Do you agree that there are teams like that? Can you think off the top of your head of a team like that that maybe statistically is similar? Like, you look at Florida State, they're top 40 offense, top 40 defense, KenPom. You're looking at KenPom right mm-hmm. now. Top 40 offense and defense. When I watch them play, though, I don't get the sense that they are as good a guarding team as they've had in the past or even as explosive offensively, even though they're scoring all these. They're scoring a ton. Like, they scored 101 against Syracuse, double overtime. I mean, they're scoring 74 against Miami and 81 against North Carolina, 93 against Duke. And I just feel like they're not as dangerous an offensive team as I watch their weapons play as they have in years past.
I agree. Florida State is nowhere near as dangerous as they have been in years past. And they're still good offensively, but I think when you lose guys like they did with Ratan Mays, and I mean, guys that were very good offensively, you can only replace them to a certain extent. And Florida State still has incredible length. They're still a massive team. And they're still really good at home, which Clemson, you know, has two games left of Florida State, a home and an away. And it's always tough to win in Tallahassee. We've seen that, you know. So still a tough opponent for Clemson. But if the Tigers will at least split, without a doubt, with
right.
Florida State. Now, the question is, can they win in Tallahassee? I think it's definitely very possible. It's very possible.
Correct. I think Clemson, without Grantham, and we'll talk about this a little bit coming back, As we said in hour one, I feel like they're going to need some, like a bunch of guys to do a little bit. That there's not going to be, like Amir Sims ain't going to just go from a 4 point a game guy with a 3 points a game to 14.
It's not just one replacement. But also, and we'll talk about this more in the next segment, you also might need some other guys that start to step up more. They've all, every starter has played well at times. You might need Eli to score a little more.
Yeah.
You know, you might need Shelton to shoot a little better from three. I think it's just going to be an absolute collective effort to make up for what Dante won't be bringing.
With Virginia Tech, do you feel like, just to put a bow on this, you feel like maybe we'll know more tomorrow about how tough a venue that is or how they play when they play North Carolina tonight?
Yeah.
In Castle?
I think we will.
Okay.
But I remember 2 years ago, Clemson went to VT. I thought, well, I guess Virginia Tech was a little better 2 years ago, but I mean, it was just a slugfest up there. I mean, it always is.
Yeah.
It's tough. Similar to Winston-Salem, I feel similar about both those venues.
I'll be good with a slugfest this game because I'll take Clemson in a foul shooting contest over almost anyone
right.
on the schedule.
But now without Dante, you got to worry about foul trouble, which is always an
That's
issue.
True. Foul trouble is interesting. But I think the foul shooters they have are really good. So I agree with that. Depends on the which side of the coin you're looking at. Stay with us. More to come. Out of Bounds. Hour 2 continues in a moment.
The Clemson Tigers men's basketball team heads back out on the road Tuesday night for a matchup with the Virginia Cavaliers in Charlottesville. It's the Tigers and the Cavaliers. Pre-game begins at 6:30 p.m. with a 7 p.m. tip-off on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Clemson Tigers men's basketball on the flagship station for Clemson Athletics, 105.5 The Roar, WCCP.
Up next, it's Don Munson with your daily Tiger update, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Relax, Clemson students, faculty, staff, and IPTE members. You can join Founders Federal Credit Union with convenient services like the Founders app with mobile deposit, Founders online, and online applications. You can spend less time in our office and more time cheering on your national champion Clemson Tigers. For product information, visit foundersfcu.com. Not a Founders member? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. A wire-to-wire victory sealed by an Amir Sims three-pointer and a block shot led Clemson men's basketball to a 67-58 victory over Notre Dame Saturday in Clemson's Little John Coliseum. The Tigers moved to 16-3 overall with the victory, 5-2 in the ACC. It was the program's first ever win over Notre Dame. Four Tigers would be in double figures. Gabe DeVoe leading the way with 17 points, including 5 rebounds. Shelton Mitchell, he added 12 points and tied a career high with 7 rebounds, also dished out 5 assists. Marquise Reed added 12 points in the contest, and Dante Grantham had 11, but that was before Dante went down with a knee injury in the game. It turned out to be a torn ACL. We found that out yesterday on Sunday, and now Dante is lost to the Tigers for the rest of the season, so it'll have to be that next man up mentality for Clemson. Clemson defensively was great against Notre Dame as they held the Fighting Irish to just 25.8% shooting from outside the three-point arc and also limited Notre Dame to just 2 free throws for the entire contest. Clemson will move on. They'll play tomorrow at Virginia, and we'll have more on that on tomorrow's show. And our report brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union, the official credit union of the Clemson Tigers.
The air is cooling down, and what better time to snuggle down in a new comfortable mattress from Simmons Mattress Outlet. With the lowest prices in the upstate, you can buy a mattress and still have money to spare. And don't forget, the box springs are free with your purchase of a new mattress. If you are really looking to pamper yourself, ask about adjustable bases, but hurry, they move quickly. Simmons Mattress Outlet in Seneca, located in the old Walmart across from Chick-fil-A.
Have you ever looked at your carpet after a cleaning and thought, man, what is that gunk and residue they left behind? Do you worry about the harsh chemicals that cleaning companies use that could harm your loved ones? Well, worry no more. Zero Res is the standout carpet cleaner brand you can count on. Their patented no-residue cleaning system leaves no man behind on your beautiful home. Call today at 864-588-7300. Zero Res. Spell it backwards or forwards, it's the right way to clean.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-597-4310. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-597-4310. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-597-4310. That's 1-800-597-4310. 1-800-597-4310.
Out of Bounds is on the air. 105.5 The Roar.
Oh, I don't think I'm a lot dumber than you thought that I think that I thought I was once.
Now back to Qualk and Kelly.
Welcome Will Vandervoort sticking up for you? The Quark's being a homer. Duke should be, I'm not saying Duke should be favored against Clemson. Duke's the number one RPI, number two in KenPom, or number four, whatever. Number four in KenPom, by the way. Number four. But KenPom has a coin flip. 51-49, legitimately. 51% Duke, 49% Clemson.
And I wasn't sitting here and saying Duke's going to run away with this game. I think it's a somewhat of a coin flip as well, but... And I think, who said this on Twitter? This was a great point. I want to give credit. Will said this on Twitter. He says, Duke hasn't guarded anybody all year, and they've only lost two games, and they've played the toughest schedule in America. That's my point. I'm not going to sit here and argue that they play defense. They don't. But they don't need to. They do not need to with how they score the ball.
They haven't needed to this year.
Okay. So,
would you agree with the ad as a defense travels?
Yeah.
Is there a reason that people don't say offense travels?
Defense travels, yes.
Okay. Where has Duke traveled to this year? They've traveled to all these neutral venues. They went to Indiana and won by 10. They gave up 81 to Indiana. That's not great. They scored 91. I'm not saying they can't score. They went to Boston College and scored 84 and lost. They went to NC State and lost, giving up 96 to NC State. They went to Pittsburgh and beat Pittsburgh because that's what happens. And then they went to Miami. And to me, the most impressive road win they have is the one they just had at Miami because they were way down and scored a million points against a team that guards.
I thought Duke had lost that game. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's the most impressive thing. I'm going to need to see it. Like, I'm going to need to see them go on the road against a team that guards.
Well,
and guard
the good
that
news
team
is,
well enough.
We have time, Quack, because this game is not for a while. So
right.
We will hash it out a lot more in the future.
They go into Wake, and they're going to beat Wake because Wake doesn't guard. They go into St. John's, and St. John's is trash. They go into North Carolina. I think that would be a litmus test game for me if I'm looking at Duke. Duke's road schedule is not that great moving forward. Wake Forest, St. John's, UNC, Georgia Tech, Clemson, Virginia Tech.
Yeah, that's tough. Well, I mean, they've already got their two matchups with Pittsburgh out of the way.
They played Pittsburgh twice.
I don't know how you get, if you're Duke, you suddenly get to play Pittsburgh twice.
You know what? Do you see my point on this, though?
I see your point, but I'm trying to, do you see my point?
I see, look, I understand what you're saying that they don't, and what I'm saying is rather than they don't need to score, I'm saying they haven't needed to score, and their two losses have come in opposing venue. What are they on the road? What's their road record? Were they like 3-2 on the road?
I mean, they haven't played many road
games. They haven't played many road
games, as per usual.
That's why I'm coming at it from the standpoint. If you look at their road wins, Indiana, Pittsburgh, and Miami, only one of those is of any consequence.
What was Duke's other loss? BC and...
They lost to BC and NC State.
Oh,
they lost
duh.
By 11
NC
State.
Yeah.
And neither one of those teams is as good as Clemson. That's why I say Miami's the team that guards the best. That would be the win that I would say they guarded the best that game. Miami doesn't score, but they should be able to stop Duke, and Duke scored 83. That's impressive.
It's the games like North Carolina, Duke, and probably Florida State that are remaining. And, of course, Virginia tomorrow.
Right.
Those are the games in which you're going to miss Dante Grantham the most.
No question.
So,
no question.
With a healthy Dante Grantham, I'm not saying this conversation is very different, Quack. I still am probably taking Duke, but
right.
I give Clemson much more of a chance. I do.
Duke's conference strength of schedule right now. Again, we're using KenPom today for all these purposes.
They haven't played. They haven't played anybody in league so far.
15th, like not even in the same. Like I didn't know this till I just looked at it.
They haven't played any of the top teams.
They are 15th in the conference and like a hop, skip, and a jump, like a long way from 14th best Virginia. Clemson schedule's 10. Like Clemson hasn't played the greatest schedule in the world.
Who has the toughest ACC schedule so far?
Boston College has the toughest.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I always look at the top of the standings, like who has played a decent schedule at the top, because if you are up at the top of the standings, you've played teams ranked below you, so it's going to be an easier schedule. But like North Carolina's played the 8th toughest schedule. That's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Like that would be the most impressive resume so far.
UVA's played the second worst, right?
Second worst, yeah.
Because UVA has yet to play a Tobacco Road school.
Yeah, and they're kind of far away from Notre Dame. Who's 13th?
Also, we should say this. At Notre Dame yesterday, we walked past Matt Farrell.
Uh-huh.
I guess they were there. I heard him say they had an off day, so he was probably cold tubbing or something.
Yeah.
That guy's short.
He's kind of small, but he's thick, though.
He's thicker, but...
He's thick.
You know, most of the time when you walk by a basketball player, they're taller than you expect. That was not the case with Matt Farrell. He was shorter than you, Kwok, or about like your height.
He was. He was my height.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense because he doesn't look too big out there. But you always think, you know, like you walk by Gabe DeVoe and Gabe DeVoe's bigger than you think he is. He's a solid 6'3". That Matt Farrell is not. I thought that was interesting.
In league games, Duke is by far the best offensive team. They're second in the country. In league games, by far the best offensive team in ACC. They are ninth in defense. And they've gone, 5-2 against the easiest schedule.
Hey, Kwok, did you know that we are out here inspiring people to travel? Someone just tweeted at me, Kevin, on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
He said, at Kelly Gramlich, last week inspired me to go to Canada. Listening from Nova Scotia, Canada.
What?
Shout out to 6 in a row from Wofford.
That's
Fletcher
fantastic.
Fletcher McGee killing the threes. And he attached a picture of a lot of snow. That's awesome.
Now that is funny. That's awesome. 654-ROAR is the number, 654-7627 if you'd like to get in on the Northland Communication phone lines. Is there anybody that thinks that Clemson season is over? Is there anybody that's doom and gloom about Grantham?
I'm sure there's some people out there.
I'm sure there are. In fact, I was kind of expecting to hear some of that, especially after the Zion news that people were just crushed. It's almost like the third most important thing to happen out of three for Clemson basketball is that they beat Notre Dame on Saturday. And they played well because they shot it really well early. They made a bunch of, 7 shots in a row they made before a block shot on a layup and jumped out to a double-digit lead, and then Notre Dame clawed their way back. But Clemson never trailed in the game. And in fact, after Clemson scored, it was never tied again. I don't think. I think the game was tied for like 19 seconds, something like that. And Notre Dame never led for any point. So I think it was that first possession where Clemson scored, and then they never, to my recollection, they never were tied. I have no idea. No idea what Clemson's going to look at, but I also think that the way that if you saw Dante Grantham's tweets about, and I won't read them all, there were like 3 or 4 of them, about his teammates, about his, about the leadership, about supporting the team, get behind them, like nobody's going anywhere, that kind of stuff. I think the most impressive thing and the most disappointing thing for Dante Grantham is that he became such a valuable leader among his teammates and among his peers that You take that off the floor, but you're not taking that out of the locker room. Like, he didn't get kicked out of school or kicked off the team. He's still around. So you lose it on the floor, but you're not losing it on the bench. And he's been very vocal and very supportive. And his body language on the bench, I think, has been really good and something that people don't talk about because people don't talk about body language on the bench. But it's something that I like about this team, that you can tell they like each other because of their body language on the bench. And Dante is front and center in that regard.
It's so unfortunate and it's so unfair. And I mean, my dad used to say this to me all the time as a kid, life's not fair. And that's true.
Yep.
But this just isn't fair. It isn't fair to Dante Grantham. And so you really, I mean, your heart hurts for him because of the transformation he made, the maturation that he went through to become the leader on this team. And to really, I mean, we can talk leadership all you want and that's great, but what he's doing on the floor, the evolution of his game, just pure basketball. It was so fun to watch, and it was so cool to see him make that jump. And now, I mean, his career ends with an ACL and not with playing in the NCAA tournament, which would have been an amazing end to a career and really put a bow on the whole thing. And that's what's so discouraging about it, too. When you look at Notre Dame and you see Bonzi Colson's out, he has a timetable for his return, right?
Yes.
They hope he's going to be back by the ACC tournament and whatnot. You know Dante's out for the year. And that's
right.
What's so unfortunate is it's so final. And the fact that he's a senior and all that, you hate it for him. You really do.
Is there another injury? Like, Bonzi Colson's 1 in the ACC. Dante Grantham would be 2. Is there another injury out there I'm missing that's more impactful to a team?
Well, Joel Berry did have the broken hand, but he's back.
He's back, and that wasn't during league play.
No, he punched a wall because he lost a video game.
Yeah.
I'm thinking on that.
I don't recall. I think it's been a fairly, you know, other than guys like missing a couple games here and there.
It's been a pretty injury-free.
It's been an injury-free year in the league.
I mean, obviously Louisville, you know, with the whole Patino situation, but that's not an injury.
And it's been like NC State, like had the, you know, they had the one guy who was suspended, not eligible or whatever it is.
But nothing. This is definitely the most catastrophic injury in the ACC this season.
Georgia Tech
to date.
No Okogie.
Other guy.
But again, that was suspension. That was an injury.
Right.
That wasn't unfortunate. That was stuff that happened.
There's no doubt. This is the most ridiculous. Ridiculous is the wrong word, but just catastrophic. That's the word. Catastrophic injury.
It is.
This season in the ACC.
There's no way to. Zion Williamson picking Duke. Not more impactful to Clemson's program than now ever than Grantham. Hour 3 is next.
Broadcasting from the safety of the Priority.